Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Talking Two Tone. After a brief hiatus, I'm back again with the best in the business, Tyler Whipple. And we're excited to kind of get back into the flow here and talk about some things that have been going on. There's been a lot happened since our last meeting, and we're going to dive right into it. What did you want to start with, Tyler? Literally, we could go anywhere here.
Well, you know, we talked about it earlier, and guys, we're glad to be back. If you're watching this on YouTube for the first time, we're trying to take a little swing at this, see how YouTube does. If you guys like seeing our pretty faces or ugly faces, whichever one you think. It's kind of hard to say Asher's ugly, but that's a beautiful man over there on the other side.
Oh, God. You're too good, man. You're too good. Take me out to dinner first.
So, yeah, if you guys like this, we're going to continue doing this. Our stuff will still be available on Apple Podcasts and Captivate and Spotify as well, of course. But we're going to go ahead and try the YouTube stuff. I think you guys like this. Well, anyway, we'll talk about what we're here for. I think we should address the elephant in the room. Me and Asher have discussed this, but we haven't discussed it really over the podcast. And, man, I just do not like the thoughts of shopping the king. I know the reports are out there, and it seems like we're kind of in rebuild mode, and we're trying to reframe this team into Rand Carthon's ideologies, in which I think Derrick Henry fits that. But just hearing the guys, the real big-name reporters, Diana Rossini, just the ones that are really in touch with the Titans, Taron Davenport, those guys talking about Derrick Henry actually is on the block, or they were actually listening to offers for him. From what I understood, he wasn't really wanting to shop. People were calling in and asking about him. They're listening. Is what I understand. It's just tough to hear that. You know, if I had to tell you what I think about this subject, though, I do not want Derrick Henry. I don't care if we're terrible. I just want Derrick Henry to be a Tennessee Titan. I know people say, let him go win a championship. No, I'm a selfish Titan fan. I want our guys to be here. The guys got 2,000 yards rushing with us. He carried us into a deep run into the playoffs, AFC championship game just 3 years ago. And I just not ready to let go of those memories. And I don't want to see Derrick Henry playing for the Dallas Cowboys like Eddie George did or something crazy like that, you know. So that's my thoughts on it. I would not trade Derrick Henry in 100 years. I want him to retire a Tennessee Titan. So, Asher, what are your thoughts on it?
I'm going to keep this very simple. If Derrick Henry is not on the roster of the Tennessee Titans at any point, it will be the end of Asher Roddy. And I mean that in like the most – simple and cutthroat way. Derek, the last thing I want to see, I can't handle another A.J. Brown, man.
Yeah.
I can't handle it. A.J. Brown gets traded, immediately breaks the Eagles franchise record for receiving yards and receptions, I believe, and then almost wins the Super Bowl. If I'm watching Derrick Henry break the record for most broken tackles in a game against the Titans next year or whenever that happens, that's it. Time to throw in the towel. I mean, I don't know what else I would do. Because, I mean, I don't know. Oof, God, I don't even want to think about it. It just drives me. And it doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't seem American. It doesn't seem anything. If Derrick Henry has been the identity of this team since he became a full-fledged starter. I mean, I bought his jersey as soon as he got drafted. Literally, as soon as he got drafted, I purchased his jersey, and I bought one for my older brother and my little brother. So, yeah, if Derrick Henry's done on this team, that's it. That's it. I'm drawing the line. And, you know, I've got to set firm, healthy boundaries, and this is one of them. This one I will not back down on. So, yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, you know, I'm completely in agreement with you on that. It would just be a bitter pill to swallow to see that guy playing for anybody else. And I don't think there's many teams in the NFL he really fits. So I'm not really real concerned with the you know, putting him away, because I don't think Derrick Henry wants to go anywhere to where he'd be at just a first and second down back. And he does play the third down with us, more people, you know, realize. However, if he played somewhere else, I'm with you. It would just – like, I never couldn't stand a team other than the Colts, of course. But this year I just couldn't stand the Eagles because I just couldn't watch them play because of A.J. Brown being on their team. And I have nothing against A.J. Brown. What I've heard and read since everything's came out, that was all on John Robinson. He would have stayed in Tennessee for $22 million a year. And that would have been an absolute steal for the top three or four receiver in the NFL. So I got nothing against AJ, and I'm happy that he's doing well with the Eagles for him, but I can't like the Eagles because they stole our hopes and dreams on the outside. So
I'm still dead inside over that. I'm still dead inside.
Yeah, we all are. And if that happens, just that would be magnified by 1,000 if it was Derrick Henry. Imagine Derrick Henry went to a perennial – he goes to the Bills. That's what everybody's saying. He tears it up for the Bills. 1,500 to 2,000 yards rushing to win the AFC. It'd be the same thing. How hard would that be to watch? So,
watching him break off an 80-yard touchdown run in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, like AJ catching the 50-yard bomb from Jalen Hurts there.
It'd be the worst thing in the world if it were an Eagles-Bills Super Bowl, and then we got to watch AJ Brown catch touchdowns and Derrick Henry rush for 200 yards in the Super Bowl, breaking his own NFL record for most rushing yards in a playoff game. That I think that would be the time where I find the tallest. Well, I can't say that. I think it would be a very difficult time for me to get out of bed for a couple of weeks.
It would be tough, man. I would be a depressed Titans fan. Like, you know, you see the memes with the poor frog frowning with the Titans cap on. That would be me. So, you know, let's pep this up a little bit, though. You know, let's just move right on. We've got another Derek segment, but I don't want to talk about that anymore.
I don't know.
Derek Henry is going to be a Tennessee Titan. We're not going to drag you down too much. Derek Henry is going to be a Tennessee Titan. I firmly, firmly believe that. So, if we just move. I don't think it's a hope. I think he will be. If he gets dealt, it'll be on draft day, in my opinion. But, you know, let's move on from that. We got another guy that we want to keep around. That's obvious, and that he's kind of held out. He's kind of in a mini holdout, I guess you could say. He's doing what all the guys do, deleting, scrubbing the Titans from his social media. And Asher, you know who I'm talking about, Big Jeff, his contract. Well, what's your thoughts on what we need to do with Big Jeff? And I think we've talked about this a little in the past, but what do you think we've gone forward now?
I've talked about it multiple times. I don't care what he wants. I don't care what happens. I'd give him a blank check. There are three things a team needs to have to be extremely successful. You need to have a star on the defense. You need to have, and by that I mean you need to have it at all three levels. You need to have a star on your defensive line. You need to have a star in your secondary. You need to have a star linebacker. Because in today's day and age, you cannot win without all three. You need to have a bona fide stud at all three levels. On offense, you can kind of get away from it. Like, you don't really have to have an elite running back anymore to win a Super Bowl. We saw the Chiefs do that. They, you know, they kind of debunked that. The Bills get close. All these teams, you know. But on defense, you have to have an absolute monster out there. I mean, look what the Rams did 2 years ago. They had Aaron Donald. They had Bobby Wagner. And they had Jalen Ramsey. I mean, you cannot win without all three, especially when it's becoming – more and more evident that this league is transitioning to a pass-happy league if it already completely isn't. You know, you have to have somebody on that D-line that can just be a disruptor, like a force, where they got to say, we've got to double that guy. And he makes your life a lot easier being on your defensive line because Denico Autry doesn't get double teamed. Harold Landry doesn't get double teamed. Arden Key now doesn't get double teamed. You name it. It's just pay him $100 million, pay him $200 million. I don't care. Make it work. Figure it out. That's what I used to say to the kids I used to teach tennis to. Figure it out.
I mean, we're on the same page as usual on that too. If I was Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel right now, I'm doing whatever I got to do to get that guy. I mean, he just fits the mold, man. He's a Tennessee Titan. You know, Jeff Simmons would only fit at a few teams, And I think the Titans are one of them as far as his mentality and how he plays. I mean, he could fit anywhere because he's just that kind of guy. But his mentality and how he talks trash the whole time, I can see him in a Ravens uniform, Steelers uniform, Titans uniform. These smash mouth old school teams that rely on that front seven and the defensive, front to do what's got to be do necessary to make big plays on defensive end. And Jeff Simmons deserves absolutely a top five contract in the interior defensive line. You got to put him up there with Aaron Donald's contract and Chris Jones's contract, and that's a couple guys come to the head. And I think Jeffrey Simmons is in the right stratosphere with those guys too. So if the Titans really want to continue not to go into a full rebuild mode, they got to sign the guys that are absolute studs on this team. And Jeff Simmons is the first bell cow that comes to mind. So Titans, do whatever you got to do to keep that guy on the roster. And I will purchase a jersey because I don't have a Jeff Simmons jersey. As soon as the contract comes through, I will have a Jeff Simmons jersey. But anyway, that's where we are on that. Big Jeff, we kind of know. It doesn't feel like the A.J. Brown. I don't feel like there's a lot of uncertainty. We pay our defensive linemen. We've done that in the whole franchise's history. Now, I know we got a new, management in, but I think they'll pay him, and I think he'll be a Titan for at least the next 4 years. So, moving on from that, we've heard of thoughts on Big Jeff. We got a little problems on the offensive line. That was our biggest deal last year, and we couldn't stay healthy on the O-line, and when we did have healthy players out there, they kind of sucked. I was looking at, shout-out Titans Rossi. I mean, Asher was talking about this. He had a nice tweet on what our projected offensive line is right now, and that's new guys in here at left tackle. I'll just go ahead and list it off here. Projected Titans offensive line for 2023 season. Left tackle is Andre Dillard, the guy that's come over from San Francisco. He was a backup. We'll get into him more when we get into the free agency talk. Left guard, still up in the air. I'm assuming we're going to go young there. Who knows? It says two to be determined. Could go draft a guy, could sign another guard. We'll see. At center, we've got probably Aaron Brewer. And I don't know if I want Aaron Brewer to play at center. I don't know about that. That's Big Jones is a big shoes to fill. We all know that. Right guard, Daniel Brunskill, another San Francisco 49er, I believe. Am I right on that? Let me make sure. Yeah. He's another San Francisco 49er. Of course, that goes with the Rankarthon. And then at right tackle, we got MPF, the most solid option on this offensive line from last year. And thank God we have MPF because we talked about that last year. But that offensive line looks absolutely atrocious right now. Honestly, I don't know a lot about Andre Diller and Daniel Brunskill. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. I know about Aaron Brewer. He gets blew up about three times a game. Aaron Brewer tries his hardest. He's just undersized.
They said it. They said it on national television. They buried that man on national television, told him he was too small to be a left guard.
Right. And
which is completely true.
If you move him in the center, I mean, I guess that's a little better because you don't have to be as big at center because most of the time you're not really lined up with somebody right over the top of you. I mean, some defenses they do. They have the nose tackle. But, that offensive line is a mess. I know MPF, we can expect him to improve. These other guys are veterans. I don't know, man. That right there, in my opinion, right now, if you draft a left guard this year and Aaron Burr is the center, that's a bottom five offensive line in the NFL. Just based off what I've heard of these guys.
I've dug a little deep into it. Andre Dillard he was a former first round pick to the Eagles and he got benched. He played a little over 400 snaps this past year, didn't allow a single pressure. So he's very good in pass protection, very average in run protection.
Okay.
And then the new guy, I'm not going to lie to you, don't even really know his name. The left guard.
He was just signed today, I believe, or yesterday.
Yeah. He apparently is also very good in pass protection and very average in run protection, which is – okay, because you can scheme run blocking,
pass protection, you can't really scheme that much. That was our biggest problem last year, is we had Dennis Daly, who couldn't do either, which forced you to play freaking Aaron Brewer at left guard because Dennis Daly could not do anything else. He could only play left tackle. Then when we had that happen, we had to put Corey Levin in over at left guard, and then we had to put Aaron Brewer at center, which is where he kind of found his best position on the offensive line. I still do not know what in the world we've been doing with Dylan Radins.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played very well. I wouldn't say he's played very well. He's played well.
Solid.
Solid. At both tackle positions when asked to. I don't know. He's got to have pissed off somebody there. He's got to have pissed off Vrabel or somebody about his work ethic and work attitude. But let me go on record and say this. Let's just stop drafting people out of North Dakota State.
Yeah.
You know, let's stop trying to cheat the process here. They don't produce – they're what, a lower-level Division I, and before that, they were Division II. Carson Wentz is their most notable player ever to come out of there in the last 10 years, and he is a steaming pile of hot garbage, so much so that people are saying he's done in the NFL, and he might come to my XFL team, the Orlando Guardians, which I don't want that to happen.
Not even on your XFL team?
Not even on my XFL team, dog. I don't want him anywhere. He should not be – he shouldn't have hands to hold anything football shaped at all.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, so this offensive line, a lot of question marks, but it seems like they're ramping up to be able to throw the damn ball, which is very good because you can scheme run blocking. You know, you can pull, you can, you know, add an extra tight end to the line. Which is good because you want to have as many opportunities to put Chigakonkwo out there as you possibly can. But it seems like this team has taken the step in the right direction from an analytical standpoint. Luna, if you don't sit down, we're going to have a problem.
Luna. There she is. Hello, Luna. Welcome to Talking Two-Tone.
Go. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm okay with offensive line so far, but I think that definitely want to spend at least two draft picks on it in the draft.
Yeah, and after the draft and after free agency, we could probably think a lot more about it. And we got to give these guys credit. You know, maybe I was a little depressing on the bottom five. Yeah, who knows? I mean, offensive line could be drastically improved next year under the right play calling as well. You know, a lot of our play calling was so bad last year, our offensive line was just caught with their pants down. Like, every third down, Dennis Daly was in pass rushing situations. There was never, like, a threat to run because it was always in a third, medium, or long. So, I mean – if we're in better situational football, you know, our offensive line could look better. If we can actually get 3 yards on first down instead of negative two, we're looking better. So that's our thoughts on the offensive line right now. It's still a lot in the air, guys. You know, a lot can change, whatnot. So we're going to move on from that. We'll have a lot more to talk about that when the time comes. But, you know, we staying with the offensive line, we kind of wanted to pay our tribute to Ben Jones and what he's done for the Titans organization his time here. Former Texan, came over through the AFC South. Always got to like the guys. I mean, the guys that come from the AFC South always seem to do well in the two-tone blue. If just thinking the few guys that we have, I fully expect Arden Key to be a big-time contributor this year. Ben Jones, of course, was a fantastic center for us, and his name escaped me, the defensive end from the Colts. I don't know why I can't think of his name right
now. DeNico
Autry. I can't believe I couldn't think of his name. DeNico Autry come from the Colts, another AFC South guy, and we've hit on all those guys, so I just want to touch base on that a little. But if you think about Ben Jones and his time with the Titans, he really set the tone for our offensive line, and we had, other than last year, I would say the whole time Ben Jones was here, we had a top 10 to 15 offensive line at a minimum with this roster. And I think he set the tone a lot for that, and he contributed big time. He was just the Iron Man until this year. He got the concussion problems. So, you know, we just want to, you know, give a salute to Ben Jones and kind of want to discuss his future too. Asher, what's your thoughts on the Ben Jones era with the Tennessee Titans?
Golly, it's really tough, man, because I love Ben Jones, and I know this move was extremely difficult on Vrabel. We saw that emotional clip last year where Vrabel embraced him in the tunnel after Ben Jones was playing on that torn up knee, and you know, said he loved him like one of his own and how tough he was and stuff like that. He epitomized what Tennessee was through our smash mouth football period. Mm-hmm. He was a stalwart. He was pushing the pile. He was doing front flips and finger rolls and walking around barefoot and Lambeau and Buffalo and all these places. I mean, you could always count on Ben Jones. Like, you could always – you never – as bad as at times as this offensive line was, and there were times where it was really bad and there were times where it was really good, Ben Jones was always a beaming ray of light on that offensive line. He was funny. He was, you know, he was nasty too. He had that nastiness about him. And he was always a bright spot on that offensive line. He will never get as much credit as he should. And, you know, you don't really appreciate it till somebody's gone. And I honestly think Ben Jones should just retire because of the concussion. It only is going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. And I selfishly don't want to see him in another jersey.
Yes, I agree with that too. Of course, he wasn't a lifer. He didn't play with the Titans organization his entire career. Kind of felt like it though. He don't feel like he has any allegiance to the Houston Texans. But no. I'm with you on that. I would rather him just retire. But I do not feel like that's what he's going to do. If he was going to retire, he would have, because I think the Titans pretty much said either retire or be released, and I think he picked a release because he probably wants to see, like, Taylor DeJuan, him and both are probably just kind of seeing what the interest is out there for them, what they can play for. I would imagine both of the guys would want to go play for a contender a couple of years if that's the possibility. I don't want to see either one of those guys either in other jerseys, but, you know, it probably will happen. I imagine Taylor DeJuan.
Taylor's recruiting players to come to the Titans.
Yeah, he is. I've seen that. But I feel like Taylor DeJuan will have a market, and I feel like he probably will play in another uniform, unless he just wants to stay with the podcast. And, you know, and that's respectful, too. You know, the guy doing really well, him and Will Compton. So, But Ben Jones, we'll see. You know, he may retire, he may not. But we want to just put, you know, touch base on that, and that we're really thankful for the time Ben Jones was in Tennessee, because he really made an impact on the organization and turned his team into a perennial winner. And, like, last year was an anomaly, hopefully. So, moving on from that, we kind of want to touch base on the guys we have lost and picked up this year. I've got this list in front of me, Asher, so I'll kind of, you know, go along it and tell you what's going on. I think it'd be the best way of doing it. Right now, we have lost some bigger names. You may have not noticed, because I didn't notice the first guy. I don't know how it escaped me. I'm pretty prevalent on this stuff, and I try to keep up with it. But Nate Davis left. He got a contract with the Chicago Bears, who have been going crazy in free agency and just spending all kinds of money after that big trade with them, the Panthers. Chicago's got a good future, so I can see why he left. But he got $30 million on 3 years, $10 million annual average salary. That's a good deal for Nate Davis. I didn't think he would get that kind of a market. I know he was good. He played well for the Titans for the 3 years he was with us. But he was kind of injury-prone last year, didn't play as good as – I think he had his worst year with us, in my opinion, as far as full-time starter. And he got $10 million over that. What's your thoughts on Nate Davis leaving?
It definitely weakens us. People are going to say good riddance, you know. Even if he came in and got beat out, he would have been a good depth player. Right. I read a report that he lost favor with Vrabel, that Vrabel hated him, and that that's why he's not back.
So do we get a compensatory pick for him or not? I think he was a fourth rounder.
I think we will. I think he was a third rounder, so we should.
Okay, so that'd be good. Yeah. We lost DeMarcus Walker again. He was the guy we drafted in that beautiful 2019 class. And we lost him to Chicago as well. He got $7 million a year, which is about right for him. He had a solid year last year. He was one of our better pass rushers. I'm proud for him to get that, but we had to move on. I don't think we can – right now we're not paying guys like that, you know, $7 million a year, because we have pass rushers. We just picked up Arden Key, so it's kind of a lateral move with him. That's not a whole lot to talk about. another guy we've lost, a lot of people haven't talked about a whole lot either. Robert Woods got cut. He was picked up by the Houston Texans on another $7 million contract, which is whatever. We wouldn't have going to pay him
He's
that
gonna
either.
Hate it. He's going to hate it there more than he hated it in Tennessee.
Yeah, we've seen the tweet of him saying, finally, like, whatever, you know, like, dude, you wouldn't get any separation, man. You're old. You wouldn't get any separation.
And he blocked like shit.
Right, and he wasn't healthy the whole year, so. Robert Woods is gone. He was faced with the divisional foe, the Texans, who we, for some reason, lose a game to every year now. the biggest drop for us, and I don't understand this, and I sent you this tweet when it came out. I don't understand why we didn't pay David Long $5.5 million a year. I mean, I don't understand that. I don't get it. I know they don't like the soft tissue stuff. And he's been dealing with that for 2 years. But David Long, when he's on the field as a top 10, 20, top 15-ish linebacker in the NFL, and you're getting it for $5.5 million, that seemed like a slam dunk, easy contract. If he wanted to stay here for that, man, why don't we do that?
I'm telling you, I don't understand that one at all. I think it's got to do – I think you're right. I think it's just the 12 games in 2 years, missing 12 games in 2 years, you know. And but even then, is he not worth $6 million for 11 games a year?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I'd pay him I'd pay him about what, $500,000 a game.
That he absolutely should have. We should have signed that. I mean, I don't understand. They may know something we don't know, but Miami got a stud linebacker for a little nothing, man.
Miami has been fleecing people this whole offseason. They got Jalen Ramsey, David Long. They just signed Mike White. He's going to be a very serviceable backup. You know, I don't understand. They're making all the sexy moves. We're not making anything sexy. There's nothing hot about what Tennessee's doing.
Right, and most of these guys from San Francisco, I'll go on and tell you who we've signed. We've signed Kevin Strong, a defensive tackle out of Arizona. I have no idea about that guy. I don't even have his contract numbers on here. Azeez Al-Shaahir, that's the guy who's going to replace David Long. I've read
that
stuff.
Guy's filthy. That guy's filthy.
He was a backup, but the linebackers in San Francisco right Brown. Now are freaking yeah. Hall of Fame level. So, well, they say he's really good, and we got him for pennies. And that might have been why they knew he was going to get that guy. That might have been why we cut David Long. I don't know. Daniel Brunskill, who we talked about earlier, the tackle. Andre Dillard, he'll probably play guard here. The tackle, Andre Dillard, he'll definitely play left tackle for us. He got 3 years and $29 million. Which isn't that much for a left tackle. I mean, we're getting for less than $10 million a year. If he's a good left tackle, that's a great contract.
I agree.
And then we got Arden Key. We've talked about him. We got him for 3 years, $21 million.
He violated Dennis Daly in that last season. That was one of the low lights of the year. I mean, he absolutely violated. I hope Dennis Daly sees him every single day on the practice field. Not ever in the starting lineups. Not ever in the scrimmages. I want Dennis Daly to see Arden Key every single day when he's on the practice squad and just gets PTSD.
He would.
Look at my face. You see how serious I am?
He's a serious man right now.
I'm fired up. I like Arden Key. I liked Arden Key when he got drafted to the Raiders, I believe. Was it the Raiders or the Niners?
I think it was the Niners, yeah. But, yeah, that's a great pick for us. That's the best signing we've had all season. I think the Andre Dillard one's going to be a really underrated one. I think this guy has it coming in, a former first rounder. He's got the talent, coming in with a chip on his shoulder, knowing that the left tackle position is his this year if he plays well. And they got the contract to back it up. I think that's an underrated signing because we all know what the worst position of the Tennessee Titans was last year, and it was left tackle and backup tight end. And we don't have to deal with any one of those guys anymore. Well, I don't want to get Jeff Swaim started because we'll be listening to Jeff Swaim hate for an hour. But he won't be in the Titans next year.
Supposedly three teams are interested in Jeff Swaim.
And it's got to be XFL team and USFL team. That's all I can imagine. So, another guy I want to touch base on is we're expected to cut ties with NWI, Nick Westbrook-Akina, and that is a shock to me as well. Why not keep NWI, you know? He's been pretty solid for us. Like, he kind of feels like that guy that is underappreciated on the roster. Now, we all know he's not a world beater. He's a solid, solid, solid number three receiver. And he'd be a great number four receiver if you could get the contract worked out that way. Good blocker. Vrabel loves him. Great on third down. I don't understand why we wouldn't just keep him for what we can get him for. So if he gets cut, I'll be a little upset.
The thing that I don't understand is why they didn't even tender him. You know, like get you know, they did that with Tierre Tart. They did it with Aaron Brewer. You know, I don't understand that from the standpoint of Tennessee. He's a homegrown player. He was an undrafted receiver at Indiana. Started off on the practice squad, worked his way up to special teams, and he got reps at wide receiver. Played wide receiver one a couple of games. He can play every position on. He can play every receiver position. Going from X to Y to slot, he has reps at all three. Your offense is better with him out there in a position of wide receiver three. But you know that he can play wide receiver one, not very well, but he can and he has. So how is it not better to keep a guy like that around? Unless this is all him just wanting to test the wide receiver market.
And that's a possibility. And, you know, I know he's in really good favor with Vrabel. I know Vrabel loves the guy. So yeah. That makes no sense to me. Hopefully they keep NWI in the building because he's just a typical Titan to me. Like, he feels like the Tennessee Titan. So, you know.
He was just a gamer. You know, he just goes out there and balls out. You know, he goes out there. He doesn't do anything really sexy. But he does everything well. He blocks well. He's good on punt coverage. He's good at, you know, third down, everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've covered in this NWI, of course, we're talking about. We have covered a ton of stuff here, Asher. But we're up against the clock here. So, guys, we've covered everything from Derrick Henry to Jeffrey Simmons to the offensive line, what it's going to be, Ben Jones leaving, maybe retiring, David Long, the contract, all the guys we've signed, all the guys we're talking about signing. We just do that here at Talking Two Tone. We're locked in with the Tennessee Titans. This is our favorite time of year. We know we love watching the games. Me and Asher love this offseason stuff. You know, it is what it is. The guys we've lost, and hopefully the guys we retain, and Derrick Henry is the main one, and Jeffrey Simmons. But and I'm going to trust Rand Carthon and his decisions and Mike Vrabel, and we'll see what the draft looks like in the rest of free agency. Asher, you got anything else to add to that? Or
no, I mean, it's just right now it's kind of like, you know, I'm at the position like it with Rand Carthon is like when your little brother comes home from work or not from work and your parents are at work and you're kind of like standoffish, like, all right, you little bastard, what are we going to do today? are you going to piss me off, or are you going to do your homework?
Yeah, that's kind of where we all are, you know, but can't panic yet, you know, and they got to think big picture. I don't know if they're planning for the future or not. Who knows? Really will show us what this team's going to do the next couple of weeks and into the draft. We'll really know how he drafts and what they're really, you know, focusing on. So,
yep. But other than that, man, it's been another great episode. We'll see you guys around draft time. And as always, tighten up.
Hey guys, tighten up. It's great to see y'all again. Absolutely.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, AKA the Football History Dude. And I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and I'd like to invite you to the portal of positive football history, Pigskin Dispatch and PigskinDispatch.com. We talk about everything that centers around the game of American football, expert discussions, the origins of the games, the great players, teams, and coaches, and more, as some great guests and insights from experts. We have new episodes 3 to 4 times a week, and you can find us on SportsHistoryNetwork.com, PigskinDispatch.com, or your favorite podcast provider.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.